If you want to get your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 John, books of 1 and 2 John, we'll be looking at portions of both of those books tonight as we continue our study, our topical study of these books. We're headed into tonight and for the next 2 weeks a study of what these books teach about truth. We've looked at four key words in these books, the words what these books teach about sin, what these books teach about love, what they teach about knowledge, and now just a couple classes on another key aspect of these books, and that's the matter of truth. We'll spend the next couple classes on that. At the end of this quarter, which will be 2 weeks from tonight, I plan to tell you where I'm getting most of the outlines and information for this class from. I've been following a very helpful book. But I don't usually like to follow a book anyway, but I don't usually tell my classes what book I'm using until the end of the quarter anyway, because I don't want you following along sitting in the class with me. So I'll tell you that in a couple weeks. Mention that tonight because this lesson will not be in that book. It's a deviation from it. But I want us to look tonight at what these books teach about truth and what they teach about this matter of absolute truth. We're going to get to it in just a minute, but what does absolute truth mean? We know what truth is. What is absolute truth?
The opposite of relative truth.
The opposite of relative truth. I like how when you ask for what something means, you get what it doesn't mean. You know, what does it mean if somebody's pretty? It means they're not ugly. You know, it's, yes. What is absolute truth? It is not relative truth, okay? What's relative truth? And don't tell me it's not absolute truth. What's relative truth? Okay, something that's true, but only in certain circumstances, or what somebody has deemed to be true to meet maybe their certain conditions. When you come to the Bible and you read about truth, and our first point is looking at the origin of truth, we're not just talking about any old truth. We're not just talking about a truth that might be found in Scripture. When you come to the Word of God and it uses over and over the expression the truth, this is not relative. This is not made up and you decide what's true. This is what God has determined to be truth. And this particular topic is saturated throughout the writings of John. You've got obviously the Gospel of John and then the three epistles of John, the book of Revelation. And there's 110 times in the entire New Testament, 110 times you're going to read the word truth. 46 of them are found in the writings of John. So if you want to find a person who's going to say the most about truth in the New Testament, it's going to be the Apostle John. Tonight we're going to look not just at 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, but I want us to even go back into the Gospel of John and pull some of what he says there. First of all, what's the origin of truth? Where does truth come from? John chapter 8 and verse 40. What did Jesus say? You seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I have heard from God. Where does truth come from? Does it come from us? Does it come from what we think is true? The truth, absolute truth, comes from God. How did it get here? Look at these passages. For the law was given, I thought there was more than one there. That's hard to read. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Truth, Jesus says, came from God. How did the truth come to this earth? Through Jesus. If you're familiar at all, it's in more than this, but familiar to this congregation, if you're familiar at all with the study, Circles of Truth, that Bill Hatcher wrote and taught. One of the major premises in that is teaching the authority of Scripture. Well, how is the authority of Scripture established? You've got to be able to establish where does Scripture come from. Well, where does it come from? Well, it comes from God. How did it get here? It was given through Jesus Christ. How else did truth come about? John chapter 14, 15, and 16. when Jesus is talking about what will transpire when he leaves, and he talks about the Holy Spirit coming in those passages, notice every time he talks about it, he refers to the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth. The only time you're going to find the phrase, the Spirit of truth, is in the writings of John. How did Scriptures get here? Through the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say he was going to do when he left this earth? He was going to send this Comforter. He was going to send the Spirit of truth. When we pick up our Bibles, we'll notice this in just a minute, we're holding in our hands truth, the truth. Where did it come from? Did the truth come from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Did the truth come from Peter, Paul, James, and Jude? Did the truth come from Moses or Joshua or Samuel or Isaiah or Jeremiah? No. The truth came from God. We have it here because by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You remember 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21? Not, the first word, I think the first word of that verse is the word not. Not by the will of man, but what? Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's where truth came from. And truth did not originate in mankind. Truth originated from God. Here's the question we want to get to. What is truth? If you were to pick up your Bible and look for that question, you remember who asked that question? Somebody's saying it, I think. Pilate. Jesus is standing before him in John chapter 18. Jesus talks about the truth. Is it verse 37 where Jesus is talking about the truth? It's either that or verse 35. And then in verse 38, I think it's verse 38 or verse 36. I've got my even and odds mixed up. That Pilate asks, what is truth? Well, not a bad question. Let's look at the Bible and see what it says. And notice we're kind of filling in the blanks tonight. What is truth? Look at these two verses from 1 John chapter 1. If we say that we have no sin, notice how similar that starts with verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, is there much of a difference between saying we have no sin and saying we have not sinned? Not an incredible difference there. We deceive ourselves, we make him a liar, and what is not in us? The truth. What is the truth? The Word. What is truth? If you parallel these two verses, which they are obviously parallel, what is the truth? It's His Word. That's what John says there. What else do we know is the truth? And 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. What abides in us? The Word of God. What else abides in us? 2 John and verse 2. The truth. Pilate asked, what is truth? Good question. Here's two things so far. Truth is His Word, or obviously another parallel way to say that is truth is the Word of God. Number three, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. Back to that verse where it says, if we say that we have no fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. We mentioned several weeks ago that word practice is used over and over in this book of 1 John. What else does it say that we are as Christians to practice? Not just practice the truth. Chapter 2 and chapter 3. Let's look at chapter 3. He who practices righteousness is righteous. If you parallel these two thoughts, what is truth? Truth is righteousness. Determined by who? Whose righteousness? God's righteousness. And we're going to talk in a couple weeks. We won't talk much about it tonight. We're going to talk in a couple weeks about what it means to practice truth. But what is truth? It's His Word. It's the Word of God. It's righteousness. Look in, let me put up several passages here. Back to Matthew chapter 7 verse 28 to get this one word. The people were astonished at His teaching. In the Bible, what's another word for teaching? Doctrine. Throughout the writings of John, you read that word, the word doctrine. Whenever you read the word doctrine, what does that word mean? Teaching. When the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for Doctrine, what does that mean? It's profitable for what? Teaching. If you want to go teach somebody, what's a good thing to teach them? What can they profit from? The inspired Word of God. What's another word for teaching is doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. In John chapter 8 and John chapter 16 throughout this gospel, Jesus says, I'm telling you the truth. What's the difference between Jesus' truth, his doctrine, and his teaching? Any difference? They were astonished at his teaching. They were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished at his truth. Jesus says, what I am telling you, what I am teaching, is the truth. So in 2 John, John writes, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. What's the difference between the doctrine of Christ? Could you also put the word teaching there? Anybody who transgresses and does not abide in the teaching of Christ has not God. But he who abides in the doctrine, in the teaching of Christ, and in a couple weeks we're going to talk about abiding in the doctrine of Christ, has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, what is truth? If you parallel all of these passages, truth is the same thing as talking about the doctrine of Christ.
David, I'm sure you'll get to it, but John 17:17
is... It's the last one on the list because it's the best one. But yes, we're getting there. Let me ask you a question. When the Bible talks about the doctrine of Christ, and when that phrase is used, his doctrine here, and when it's used in 2 John 9, and it was used throughout the Scriptures to talk about the doctrine of Christ, is that talking about the teachings about Jesus? Or is that talking about the teachings of Jesus? Let me tell you why I'm asking that question. There are many people who look at 2 John, and they say, absolutely, we need to abide in the doctrine of Christ, and we need to watch out for anybody who's not teaching the doctrine of Christ. And if somebody's not teaching the doctrine of Christ, then we don't need to have any fellowship with them, because that's what this passage says. But their definition of the doctrine of Christ is, all somebody needs to be doing is just teaching about Jesus. As long as they're telling the stories about Jesus, as long as they're telling, you know, his miracles and telling about his parables and telling about what he did, if it's just stories about Jesus, then we're okay. Just talking about Jesus. Or is this talking about the teachings of Jesus that he taught? See, some want to soften and say, well, as long as we're just teaching stories that are nice about Jesus, everything's okay. But if we're going to get into a rigid form where we're teaching what Jesus taught, all of a sudden that's kind of narrow, isn't it? Now, which one is being discussed here? Is it the broad? Well, as long as people are just teaching nice stories about Jesus, everything's okay. Or is it that which is narrow that says, here is what Jesus taught? Does it make any difference what Jesus taught about marriage, divorce, and remarriage? Does it make any difference what Jesus taught about salvation? Does it make any difference what Jesus taught about baptism, whether it's necessary for salvation or not? Does it make any difference what Jesus taught about the church? Does it make any difference what Jesus taught about worship? If it does, then do we want to fall in line behind the doctrine of Christ, his teachings? Or is it okay to separate ourselves from his teachings and just get out here and teach about him? God draws a line. God talks about truth. And God says truth is the doctrine that Jesus taught. What were they amazed at? Were they amazed at his teachings about himself? No. They're amazed at his doctrine, what he was saying, what he was teaching. What is truth? It's all of these things. What else is truth? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. If anyone says, I know him and does not keep his commandments, that person is a liar and the truth is not in him. The truth of God is the same thing as talking about the commandments of God. Here's June's verse. I guess it's God's verse, but it's the one that June mentioned. Sanctify them by your truth. What is truth? It's the Word of God. And I know that all of these are parallel. But when we start talking about absolute truth, first thing we've got to do is say, well, what is truth to begin with? Whose truth are we talking about? And when we start talking about truth, we're talking about His truth, God's righteousness, not man's. The doctrines, the truth of Christ, His teachings, His commandments, not man's, His word. So, what do we know about truth? Is there absolute truth or not? And is there absolute truth in this book? Maybe that's the greater question. Somebody could say, is there absolute truth? The sky is blue. Would you say that's an absolute truth? No? Are you saying that's a relative truth? Could it be pink?
Sometimes.
So it depends on, could it be yellow?
Maybe.
Could it be black?
Yeah.
You get up tonight, see if the sky is blue, okay? So the sky is blue is not absolute truth? Why not? Leaves are green. Is that absolute truth?
No.
See, we want to take all of these truths that we teach our children. Didn't you teach your children the sky is blue? What color is the sky? Did you say pink? No. The sky is blue. What color are the trees? Did you teach your kids that trees are red? No, we teach them that they're green. Probably because we live in South Florida, and that's the only color that we see down here, and our kids don't know any better. Is there absolute truth to be found? Is there absolute truth to be found in this book? Not just any truth. In the New Testament, the truth, and I've underlined that for us, is found 67 times. What is that word right there that don't say the, okay? I already know that. What is that word grammatically?
An article.
If I remember English, which I wasn't very good at it, there were both indefinite and definite articles in the English language. By the way, there's also in the Greek language. Indefinite and definite articles. What is an indefinite article?
A.
Why is that indefinite? Non-specific. Would you go sit in a pew, please? You got 52 to choose from. Okay? But if I say to Katie, go sit in the pew. Which one do you think she's going to go to? Okay. That one up there. Lonnie, do you have your hand up before?
No.
Oh, I didn't. I was trying to ignore you for a second, but I came back to you. So, the is not an indefinite article. The is a definite article. Why? Because it's specifying something. If you sit in a pew, any pew is good enough. If you say sit in the pew, then something's been identified in some way or another. If I talk about a truth, what is that? Well, any old truth. But if God talks about the truth, all of a sudden the scope has been narrowed. And now we're talking about something that's very specific. For instance, think about some of these verses. We're going to come back to talk about some of them hopefully in a minute. John chapter 8 and verse 32. Is there any verse that we know any better that's got the truth in it? Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. What truth? Any truth? Did Jesus say, hey people, you're going to know a truth? Oh, great. Thanks a lot. You know, I didn't know a truth before. What is Jesus saying? Jesus says there exists, that's one of the points we're making here. Jesus says there exists, not just any old truth, there exists the truth, and guess what? You're going to know the truth. And we'll look at it in just a minute again. And the truth is what's going to make you free. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, a truth, and the life. Anybody can come unto the Father, doesn't matter how they get there. Is this narrow or what? When it comes to Christ, how many truths are there? Well, according to that, there's just one. 1 John chapter 2, Verse 21, I think this passage is interesting. He says, you know it. The word it is right there, but he's been referring to the truth. You know the truth, and you know that no lie is of the truth. What does that mean? No lie is of the truth. Now, don't tell me truth is not a lie and a lie is not a truth. What does it mean that no lie is of the truth? How does that fit into a discussion about absolute truth? What is the Lord saying?
Sin is not God.
Sin is not of God? Okay. That's also said in chapter 3 of this book. Well, it said throughout the book, chapter 1 and chapter 2, teaching in fact. No lie. What's another word for lie? Falsehood. Untruth. That kind of softens it, right? You know? But isn't that what a lie is? If you've got truth, what's the opposite of truth? Well, let's call it what it is. It's a lie. Sometimes we kind of, you know, well, it's just an untruth. Are there any untruths in the truth? What does that say about absolute? When you talk about the opposite being relative truth, then you can have any truth. And in relative truth, you could have a truth, I could have a truth, and they could not be the same. And so to me, your truth would be an untruth. God says there are no lies. There are no untruths in the truth. There is the truth, the absolute truth, and there's no wiggle room inside of that. Chapter 3 and verse 19, we know that we are of the truth. There's only one truth, and we know that we can be a part of it. 2 John in verse 2, the truth will be with us forever. What does that say about Scripture being absolute truth? What's going to be with us forever? A truth? Any truth? You could worship this way, or you could worship this way, and forever and ever and ever, you could just worship any way you want. You could be saved this way, or you could be saved this way, and you could do that forever and ever. He doesn't use the word A. There's no indefinite part of this. The truth is going to be with us forever. Which truth? There's only one. And the definite article says that there's only one. Remember those passages we looked at in or referenced from John 14, 15, and 16 about the Holy Spirit? It called the Spirit of truth. And in John chapter 16 and verse 13, he said that he would, that the Holy Spirit would guide them into what? All truth. Who is Jesus speaking to in John chapter 16? If you say apostles, go ahead. If you say apostles, you would be right. He's talking to these men and says, the Spirit is going to guide you into all truth. If those men are now dead, how much of the truth has been revealed? What did Jesus say? Holy Spirit would guide those men into all truth. If they are now dead, how much of the truth has been revealed? All of it. Now, we know that other passages teach that, don't we? I don't think I've got Jude up here, but I've got 2 Peter up here. We know Jude teaches that the faith, which is another word for another way to express truth, the faith has been once for all delivered. What does that say about Jesus' promise? Did the Holy Spirit guide them into all truth? When Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 that we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Think about that word all. He will guide you into all truth. We have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That truth, that faith has been once for all delivered. It's done. So if I want all of the truth, I've got it. All I've got to do is pick this up. And when I read through this book, it's not questionable. It's not maybe this is truth. It is not that this might be a truth that I could find in here. And that's sometimes the way people approach, I'll use Christianity in a very loose way. approach their Christian lives is they find a truth that they can grab a hold of and they say, you know what? I'm going to live by that truth to the best of my ability. Forget those other little things that are, but that's going to be my truth. Some people grab a hold and say, I'm never going to tell a lie and I'm going to be the best non-liar that's ever lived. Well, that's great. You just told one. Is that the intention of the Bible? That it's just like a buffet line, or I could pick something and leave something, and I can get a truth there and a truth there, but leave out these other things. There is the truth, and God says that that truth is absolute. It's firm. It is something that I can count on and don't have to question. And absolute means it's not left up to me to decide whether it's truth or not. When somebody comes to the Bible and reads a verse and says, well, I know that's what that verse says, but here's what I think it means. I know that's what that verse says, but here's what I think God wants me to do. I know that's what that verse says, but here's what so-and-so taught me about it. I know that's what that verse says, but I feel in my heart that this is the way that I need to go in life. What's wrong with those statements? The word but and everything that came after it. If I read a verse and that's what the verse says, that's where the truth is. And if I choose to put a but after that, if I choose to change it, if I choose to modify it to fit me, now I'm trying to make truth relative. And that's what we do today. I mean, I was going to say something about lawyers, but I'm not going to say it, okay? We're going to switch gears. It wasn't going to be a good illustration. We'll switch over to something else. Do we not in this country, are we not thriving on relativism? Yeah. We're not thriving on, I'm okay, you're okay. Yeah. Are we not thriving on not getting into other people's territories? Are we not thriving on this idea of whatever you think is okay, whatever I think is okay, and we're just going to agree to disagree, and there's no straight lines, there's no narrow passages, everything's open.
Political correctness.
So we talk about alternative lifestyles instead of using the word that the Bible uses. We talk about an abortion instead of using the word that the Bible uses. We've got all of these fancy words to try to sway us into believing that there is not absolute truth. Does God draw a line in the Bible or not? Is there absolute truth or not? And I've got it right here. Here's some things to ask. Does God ever, when you pick up the Bible, does God ever teach you, does He ever tell you to just know a truth? Why don't you just go believe a truth? Why don't you just go obey a truth? Practice a truth. Teach a truth. Abide in a truth. Walk in a truth. Stand for a truth. Love a truth. Study a truth. Work for a truth. Worship a truth. Rejoice in a truth. Does God tell us to do that? Hey, David, go worship in a truth. Hey, David, go and study a truth. Hey, David, go and love a truth. And you pick it. You do whatever you want. Go walk in any old truth you want. Go abide in any old truth you want. Go and believe any old truth you want. Go and practice any old truth you want. God's not indefinite in that area. In fact, for all of these, God is very definite. Does He want us to know the truth, believe the truth, obey the truth, practice the truth? Yes. God's very definite, and He's not indefinite. God does not teach relativism. He does not teach this idea of, well, whatever you want to believe is okay. As long as you're a nice person, as long as you don't kill anybody, as long as you don't, you know, do any of the real bad sins, as long as you're nice to everybody, and as long as you're a relatively good person, we're all right. Trudy?
Obey all truth.
Pardon?
Obey all truth.
Obey all truth is what God tells us to do. And that's our responsibility. God's truth is the truth, and His truth is absolute. I've got about 7 minutes. I've got two more points I want us to get to. When it comes to absolute truth, somebody may say, okay, yes, absolute truth exists. They may grant this first statement, but say that it can't be known. Sure, with God, there's absolute truth. But you can't really know it. You know, because God is so infinite and we're so finite, and God is so mighty and we're so weak, and God is so wonderful and we're so not, that we can't really know the truth. Sure, it exists, but, you know, it's not possible for us in our, you know, little finite minds to really grasp the truth. How does that one sink in for you? What would this book be worth if that statement was true? Why would God have even attempted to give us this book if that theory were true? And what does it say about God? Is He infinite? Yes. Is He mighty? Yes. Is He wonderful? Yes. If He's so smart, if He's so wise, and He's so infinite, couldn't He figure out a way to explain it to us little, you know, idiots? Couldn't He explain it to us in such a way we could understand it? When the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Anything hard to understand about? I mean, is that pretty simple language? That's pretty simple. When the Bible says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized," tell me what's hard about that sentence. There's really nothing hard about in understanding. Maybe in practice, it might be hard for some. But tell me what truths are in the Bible. All truth. How much of it do we have the ability to understand? When Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 17, "Understand what the will of the Lord is," was he laughing under his breath when he's writing and saying, "You're going to try, but you'll never get it"? No. We can know the truth, and we're going to run out of time, so let me just put these verses up here. It is God's will for all men to know the truth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3 said, "God desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." If God wanted that to happen and it were not possible, what kind of God is that? He wants you to know the truth, but, you know, you really can't. What kind of God is that? In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, where it talks about Christians, and it says, "After we have received the knowledge of the truth," if we sin willfully is what the first part of that verse says, if we sin willfully, "after we have come to or received the knowledge of the truth." What does that say? What does that verse imply? We can know the truth. When you pick up the Bible and read in the writings of John about him saying, "I've not written to you because you don't know the truth. I've written to you because you do know the truth. And you have known the truth," 2 John in verse 1. And when Jesus says, "You shall know the truth," was He kidding? He wasn't kidding. He said, "We can know the truth." How can we know it? Right here. We know the old King James probably better than the new King James. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." And here's where King James, New King James, and New American Standard differ slightly. "Rightly dividing the word of truth." Handling aright, I think the New American Standard says. Handling aright the word of truth or the word of God. How can I know the truth? I've got to get into this book. And everyone who says you can't understand it has never read it. And somebody who says there's not absolute truth, there is not the truth, hasn't picked up the book and read it. Is there absolute truth? Yes. Can you know that there's absolute truth? And can you understand the absolute truth? Absolutely. I've got 2 minutes. Let me get to this last point, and then I'll see if you've got any comments. The rest of what John chapter 8 and verse 32 says, not just that we can know the truth, but we can know what the truth does to us. Jesus says, "The truth shall make you free." What does that mean? Truth shall make you free. Same thing it means in John chapter 17. where Jesus prays to God. This is Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. We know the last part of that probably better than we know the first part. Sanctify them by thy truth. Verse 19 says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by thy truth. What does that phrase mean? When Jesus prays to God and says, God, sanctify them by thy truth. What's he asking? What's he want God to do? Okay, what does sanctify mean? To set us apart. What is truth going to do for us? Can we know it? Yes. And if we will know it and obey it, what is truth going to do to our lives? Is it going to change us? Will it set us apart? Will it sanctify us? That's what the Bible says. It is the gospel of our salvation. This truth is going to save us if, Paul says, we will have a love for it. What does it mean to have a love for the truth? It means I get in here and I long more than anything else to not only know the truth, but to obey it and to practice it. And when I do that, does that sanctify me? Is this going to set me apart? It should. I probably should have started that sentence by saying, it should be obvious if one is of the truth or not. If you are of the truth, are you going to be different than the world? When the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where it says, quoting from the Old Testament, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. How do I do that? Does that mean I need to be an oddball? Does that mean I need to put on an orange wig so everybody knows that I'm different? Does that mean I need to go live as a hermit in some isolated place? No. It means I need to let the truth of the Word of God, the absolute truth of the Word of God, sink into my soul, abide in my life. Will it change the way I live? Yes. It absolutely will, because it's absolute truth. We'll look at a couple more lessons about truth next time. We'll let everybody else come in, I guess.